Dad, dedicated and determined. Today is Father's Day, and fathers, we honor you. And young men, the reason I had high school age kids come up, young men I should say, come up is because one day you might be a father. This message is for you, as well as any dad here today. And so listen up, guys. This gift today is a reminder to shine God's truth at all times, ever ready. This gift is for all men. It's for all high school guys. And it's great to see this many men here. And this isn't by any means all of the guys that are in a congregation. And there's something powerful about a man's voice in song to a child. Dads, sing to your kids. Sing over them. That's a blessing to them. So, guys, we give you this gift to remind you that one day you may become a father, whether you're young or not so young. You might be a father someday. And we encourage you to work on the skills. Here they are. Ready? Patience. You're going to need that to be a dad. Patience. Speaking good words. Okay, words of life over your kids. And blessing others with godly friendship. Teach your kids by modeling that to them. These are some of the skills that you will need and use as a father. So we want to be not just men, we want to be manly men, right? Because manly, you know, we've got it. You know, all this strength. This is what we men do when we want. Ladies, you may not know this, but in the mirror. Yeah. Well, okay. So let's watch a video about manly men. Can I get the lights off, please? Andy, would you grab those lights over there? Thanks. And we men want to be manly men. We want to be strong. We want to be men who can gain confidence in their manhood as providers, protectors, and leaders. However, many men struggle with feelings of inadequacy and failure as husbands, as fathers, as community people, maybe at work, and so on and so on. Over the last 2 years, our Tuesday night men's group has been gaining strength in the Department of Courage. It's a courageous group, we call it. And we've been gaining courage in two ways. First, we seek God's counsel and wisdom for the things that are hard for us to do, hard for us to approach, things that scare us. Second, we give support and prayer, friendship, and accountability throughout the week to each other. And so here's two guys who are going to share just a moment of what this Tuesday night men's group has meant to them and how they're gaining in the Department of Courage. Jeff and Steve, come on up.
Good morning, everyone. So we've had kind of a variety of numbers, but roughly about 6 to 8 guys a week. And it's an interesting dynamic in that it kind of moves around who is the person who's kind of sharing or whatever. But over that period of time, you have an opportunity to start to learn each other and find out about different things that are going on in each other's lives that lead to follow-up questions and see how it's going and those kinds of things. But I guess the most revealing thing to me is that we all have very similar issues, I guess I would say. Things that trouble us, things that concern us, the things that we worry about, things we don't like to talk about. And probably for me personally, the most revealing, just the ability to kind of step out of my comfort zone a little bit and open up with some things that have troubled me for a number of years. And to find out that other men in my community and my church have had very similar experiences and not a very good outlet with which to one, express them and also resolve them. So I'd say that was probably the most revealing for me. Thank you.
What Jeff said. I've been in the group almost since the beginning, since 2 years ago. And if you had told me then that I would have joined a group, a men's group that was not a structured Bible study, I would have said you're crazy, because that's what I kind of wanted to do. But we soon discovered that that didn't work real well. Yeah. We always talked about something else. And like Jeff said, it's every week's different. You know, some people have a bad week, and then you can talk about it. And people, the guys say, oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. And for me, that's the big thing, you know. We all have our issues, like Jeff said. And sometimes as guys, we think, well, I'm the only guy with this problem, and I'm just stuck with it. But being part of the group, you learn that either people have gone through what you're going through, or they are going through it right now, and you can talk about it and help. Sometimes Delbert just has something that we start with in the beginning, and then we end up talking about what's going on in the week. And part of it for me is getting to know people. I don't do that real well. I'm not a real social guy. But, you know, Richard was part of our group, and I really miss him. Anyway, part of the thing in the group is it stays in the group. So whatever we're talking about, we don't have to be worried about it spreading out through the community. We just help each other with it. And so that's what I get out of it.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Very much.
Men, if you're thinking about being in a place where you find support in honesty, support not just in honesty, but also in finding a pathway through the things you're struggling with, men's group starts next October. We'll restart again. And so if you're interested in that, please let me know now, because we're meeting once a month through the summer, and we'd love to have you join in and start getting acquainted. So it takes courage to be godly men, right, guys? To be godly men, and it takes men gathering together regularly to put courage into practice. It's just too easy to hide without other men helping us take a bold stand. It takes courage to be a dad. Three men were in a hospital waiting room as their wives were having their babies, and so they're waiting there for the arrival of their infants, and it seemed like a long time. Finally, a nurse comes in, and she says to one of the fathers that his wife had just given birth to twins. And he goes, wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. I play for the Minnesota Twins. That's pretty cool. Well, about 20 minutes later, another nurse comes in and announces to the second father that his wife has just given birth to triplets. That's amazing, said the jubilant father. I work for 3M Company. That's pretty awesome. Well, upon hearing that, the third father fell out of his chair and fainted. It took a little while to revive him, but when he came to, the other two dads asked him, sir, what's wrong? Why did you faint? And he says, I work for 7-Up. There's probably no greater gift for a dad than to hear his children sincerely speak well of him. Fathers, the best gift you can give your kids is to give them an accurate picture of who your father, God, is, regardless of who your earthly father was. How you interact with your children develops in them what they believe God is like. What kind of love he has. Is he disappointed? Is God distant? Is he far away? Does he not care? How you interact with your kids gives them a picture of what they think God is like. Is he patient? Does God enjoy their presence? And most of all, do they have a purpose in life that helps them fulfill God's plan for them in their lives? Dads, you will make mistakes. We've all made mistakes in our relationship with our children. Your kids are watching you, what you do with your mistakes. Fathers, let me please tell you this. If you hear nothing else today, hear this. When you make a mistake, do not hide it from your children. They already know. And so go in, press into relationship with your kids and your mistakes, and apologize to them. Say to them what you think you did wrong. Just don't say, I'm sorry, or I apologize. Go in and tell them what you think you did wrong. I didn't uphold your dignity. I embarrassed you in front of your friends. Whatever it is that I did. I punished you when you weren't really the guilty party. Whatever it be. Fathers, go back and model to them that God still loves them. Model for them the humility of saying, I made a mistake. You weren't worthy of what I did or what I said. And uphold them, because that's what they're going to model to their children someday. Is that correct? Exactly right. They're going to do what they saw Dad do. And so be humble with your children. Teach them that great quality. When you do wrong by your kids, put your pride away. Put your pride away. Ask them for forgiveness. Ask them 4 times a year what you can do to be a better dad for them. So every 5th Sunday, there's 4 of them in the year. Ask your children. Kids, what can I do to be a better dad for you? They're going to tell you. Okay? And they might say, oh, I don't know, Dad, you're pretty good. Or they might have answers. I used to do this with the kids. I probably should still do this. I'm still a dad, aren't I? Even though my kids are grown. And ask, what can I do to be a better dad? So that teaches them that you really do care about improving yourself with them. They're watching you. They're watching you to learn what to do in life. How to do relationships. Ultimately, that's what kids are watching for. How do I do relationships? Am I supposed to get mad and throw things? In my younger fathering days, I would get mad at something, and I just had to take something and throw it down. And my wife says, well, that was helpful. Which did not help me, but in that moment. But but kids are watching you. My phrase when I was a younger dad was, doggone it. Justin picked up on that. I didn't know it. He couldn't say doggone it, but he could say, awgone it, awgone it. And I'm going, oh, golly, I didn't know he picked up on that. They do. So they learn much from what we do, more than what we say. We have another video about kids watching us. Andy, would you get that? Kids learn by watching us, that's for sure. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Listen to this, dads. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to the commands I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are getting up. Tie them around your hands as a reminder. I think I missed a line. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are away on a journey and when you are lying down and when you are getting up again. Tie them to your hands as a reminder and wear them on your forehead. Write them on your doorpost of your house and on your gates. Keeping the Word of God close to us, not just in memory, but in obedience. Obedience is really takes a God's Word and brings it down into our faith DNA. Makes it part of who we are. some ways to instill in your children to love God with all their heart, to keep this, as this passage says, keep God's word in front of them, not just in words on a page, but in dad living it out. First of all, pray for your children with your children. Pray for your children with your children. If your children are grown, they still love to feel your arm around them and your voice covering them in prayer. Kendra's in Texas. We talk, and when we close our time together, I say, Kendra, let me pray for you. And she says, okay, Dad. And I'll pray over what we've talked about, maybe a fear she's had or a joy she's experienced, and just to pray over her. And when we get done, she says, thanks, Dad. Then one day I asked her, Kendra, your turn to pray over me. And she prayed a powerful prayer over her dad. And it was awesome for me. But pray over your children with your children. Now the question comes, what do I pray for? I don't know. Well, how about this? Ask your children the high-low question. Honey, son, what was the high point of your day today? And what was the low point of your day today? Okay. Now, when you ask that question, you got to put the newspaper down and the remote down and the computer down and the phone down and give those kids eye contact so they know that you're really interested in what they're saying. Dad, ask the question and then watch and listen. Ask clarifying questions when you don't know what they've meant by a word or a phrase. And then say, let me pray over you. And you pray over the high thing, and you pray over the low thing, because your kids just gave you something that was important to them. And what's important to them, and you pray for those things, wow, that seeps in well into the heart of your children. Yeah. Secondly, give your children your 5-to-1 heart. Your 5-to-1 heart. Researchers at the University of Washington have discovered the marriages that are most often filled with genuine love and care are the ones where spouses speak 5 positives to every 1 negative they say to each other. Well, guess what? That goes for children too. When you have to say a negative to your children or something comes out of your mouth you really didn't mean to say, overcome that with 5 positives. And let them be genuine, positives. Speak well over your children. And it takes positives to overcome a negative. I read a story about a lady who bought a brand new dress. And she wore it to, I don't know, some gathering somewhere. And people were commenting on her dress. And one person said one negative thing about her dress. And in her mind, it erased all the positives. It was gone. So one negative can be powerful, can it? Overcome that. Speak to your children. Groan wherever they live. Call them up. You know, I'm just remembering how caring you were when you were a kid living with us and raised. We were raising you. And, man, you spoke so well of people and you were just so helpful to them. I just want you to know that I appreciate that about you. And then give them a glance into their future. Take a strength they have and speak it, not just for the present, but for the future. It wasn't very long before Kayla and I saw that Justin and Kendra were people helpers. They loved to help people. And so to speak that into them and say things like, man, Justin, I see in you a whole future that God is going to use you to impact people's lives, to bless them because you're such a helper. God is really going to influence people's lives, going to touch their hearts through you. And Justin is doing that today. Kendra's doing the same thing. She's blessing people. Invest into their future, not just their present, with your good words. Whether you've had the best dad in the world or no dad at all, your Heavenly Father is the one who always loves you, always believes in you, and is always going to keep you. I want you to say this phrase, my Father is keeping me. My Father is keeping me. Did you hear it? My Father is keeping me. Listen to this. No qualifying factors here. My Father's keeping me when I'm good. No, my Father's keeping me. I want to do what I want to do today. My Father's keeping me. Why? Because that's His. That's His character. That's who He is. And that's what He does. Love does keep you. And God is love. Dad, as your Father God will discipline you and prune you, He's teaching you to do that with your children as well. Discipline, what is it? Discipline removes something negative to develop godly character. Okay? Remove something negative. Your kids have a bad habit, maybe a speech thing where they're saying stuff that's hurtful or a habit that's not good. Discipline them. Okay, that doesn't mean beat them to within an inch of their life. That means bring them to you. Show them why what they're doing is wrong and love them into a better habit. Okay, show them how. Just don't tell them they should. Kids often don't know how. We think they do because, well, we've got 45 years, 30 years, 20 years on them. We've had that much experience on how to do new things. They don't have that if they're young. Show that, how to do good things. Model it for them. So discipline is removing a negative in order to create a more positive godly behavior. Pruning removes something good to make you better. Got any scriptures in mind here? John chapter 15, right. John chapter 15, Jesus says the gardener, God, comes and He prunes away branches. You go to a vineyard and you watch them. I wish Dave Bailey was here. He's worked in a vineyard. They go in and cut out tons of grapes off of the grapevines so that the grape clusters that are left are top quality. Okay, we're not just after good. We're after top quality. When God prunes us, He can take away something good in order to improve us. Okay, so it looks like this. Here's my improvement steps. 1, 2, 3, my improvement steps. And so here I am, and I say, oh, God, I want to be more like You. And so God removes something that helps me move from where I am because, you know, I'm kind of satisfied where I am. And so He says, Delbert, you're not in My Word enough. So He prunes away something from my plate that's a good thing. Give me more time to be in study. And so I study for a while. Wow, this is really good. Thanks, God. And I'm going, wow, I'm pretty satisfied here. God says, I'm not done pruning you yet. There's another thing you need in order to be even a better man, father, pastor, whatever. And so He keeps removing things. And that removing of a good thing sometimes hurts, doesn't it? I don't want to give this up. But God, I want to keep growing in You. So God disciplines and prunes. Fathers, discipline gently, fairly, discipline, be consistent, and prune, and prune. To everyone here today, I would encourage you to write a note to someone who is a dad to you. I don't care if they're older or younger, it doesn't matter. Write a note today. That's our assignment today. Write a note to someone, some other guy, and say, you've been an example to me. I thank you for just watching you. Or it might be your own dad. Or it might be someone else you see as a father figure. Write a note that someone you look up to. It's not easy to be a dad. So say thank you to a dad near you. Finally today, fathers, let me encourage you to not beat yourself up. It's hard being a dad. We understand that. Don't take yourself so seriously that you can't forgive yourself the mistakes you make with your children. So we close with a song that is about a father speaking to his daughter, but can also be heard as your father speaking to you. So this is not just for dads now. This song is for everybody. But dads, I want you to hear it. This is your father speaking to yourself, speaking to you. And so hear this song today. When you hurt, when you think you've messed up so bad with your children or your wife, your coworkers, whoever, this song really hits home. Got to learn to love, learn to love, learn to love your enemies too. What if your enemy is you? And you wish you were somebody else. Dads, we need each other. Don't take your sorrows, your hurt, your pain, and bury it thinking time will heal. Time does not heal. Time buries and it comes back somewhere else sometime later. Fathers, we love you. We believe in you. You've got what it takes. God made you that way. But you and I have some things we still need to learn as being dads. Wives, bless your husbands. Bless them with good words. Help them along the way. I'm going to close this with just a prayer over dads. And let me just cover you, fathers. Let's bow together. Father God, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your words to us that you keep us. My Father is keeping me. Lord, teach us. We're students. We're willing to be taught. Help us to gather with each other regularly. And like these two men who shared today, they discovered they're not the only one in their own boat. There's other guys that have joys and victories, but have sorrows and hurts too. So we love you, Father. Thank you today that you bless us beyond measure, that you're keeping us always, that we can trust in you forever. And God, that today as a dad, whether the mistakes that we've made have been a long time ago or just a few minutes ago, Father, we're still staying the path. Thank you for being the best dad for us and teaching us how to be that to our children. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God bless you.